This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can now watch our TV show on Free Speech TV every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. Human Rights Watch has released a new report detailing the experiences of two Tunisian men who had been held by the U.S. for over a decade without charge. The report, based on interviews with Rida Al-Najjar and Lofti Al-Arabi Al-Gharisi, reveals new and horrifying forms of torture that the CIA engaged in. The men, who were recently repatriated to their homeland of Tunisia, spoke out for the first time about what was done to them. And what was done sounds like something out of a horror film involving electric chairs, water torture, including waterboarding, sleep deprivation, and being chained by their wrists from the ceiling for hours while being beaten. The CIA's use of torture is something that the U.S. has never come to terms with, and its victims have yet to receive justice for. My guest is John Kiriakou. He is a former CIA analyst and counterterrorism operations officer. He was the first ever U.S. intelligence officer to reveal information about the intelligence community's use of torture techniques. He was imprisoned for more than 2 years for his whistleblowing actions. Welcome to the program, John.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. So first, as far as you can tell, what is new about these revelations that these two Tunisian men discuss? It's really quite horrifying to think about the sort of multiple types of torture they were subject to, any one of which is just, you know, nightmarish, but to have all of them. As far as you can tell, is this something brand new or fairly in line with what you've already seen?
Oh, no, this is something that is indeed new. You know, Americans think that they understand what the torture program was because the Senate torture report was released. In fact, the Senate torture report was not released. What was released was a very heavily redacted executive summary for the torture report. And so we really don't have a full idea of what the CIA was doing in the name of the American people for all those years during the Bush administration. And certainly the Obama administration has not been transparent when it comes to torture.
So let's talk about what these men did. And for our video, for our TV audience, we will play a video that Human Rights Watch created based on where they basically have an interview with one of the torture victims describing what was done to him. But these two men from Tunisia, one of them basically said he was in Pakistan to go to school, to go to university, when he was picked up by U.S. soldiers and assumed to be somehow linked to Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden. He describes being hung from the ceiling by his wrists for hours and basically beaten by U.S. soldiers, by CIA officers rather, essentially U.S. military personnel every few hours. This reminds me of another incident that came about very early on in the U.S. war, John, and that was this Afghan man, a poor Afghan driver named Gul Rahman, I believe his name was, who died from being beaten so severely. But this sort of method of hanging somebody by their wrists from the ceiling, as far as you can tell, how common was it?
Oh yeah, that was a very common tactic. Let me correct you on one note. Mm-hmm. Gul Rahman did not die from a beating. I think that he suffered a more horrible death. Gul Rahman underwent something called the cold cell, where a prisoner is stripped naked. He's chained around his wrists and then chained to an eye bolt in the ceiling. So he can't sit, he can't lay down, he can't get comfortable in any way. His cell is chilled to 50 degrees Fahrenheit. And then every hour, someone throws a bucket of ice water on him. And so Gul Rahman died agonizingly of hypothermia. So what we're hearing from these two Tunisian prisoners is that they were chained in a very similar way to an eye bolt in the ceiling. I can tell you that is a CIA tactic, and I believe them.
Then there was the issue of water torture. I understand these men were subject to basically standard water boarding, which is horrifying, but their heads were dunked into water as well. What were these sort of various methods of torture using water?
Well, again, this is something that the CIA has never come clean on. We know all about waterboarding. We know that waterboarding was used on Abu Zubaydah, on Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, on Ramzi bin Ashib, and on others. But we really don't know what else, what other techniques were used, and against what prisoners. So this is all new, this report.
Then there's the electric chair, where, I mean, it's not an electric chair in the same way that somebody who's basically subject to capital punishment is, but a chair which has fingertip clips that the men were forced to sit on. This I had never heard of.
No, I actually hadn't heard of this either. And when I read the article and I read the description of the chair, I went back to the United Nations Convention Against Torture just to see what it said about such psychological torture. And it very clearly and specifically prohibits this kind of psychological warfare against a prisoner. It's just simply illegal. It's illegal both in the United States. It's a violation of U.S. law, the Torture Act, the Federal Torture Act, and it's a violation of the United Nations Convention Against Torture.
So, and we only know about what was done to these men so many years later. They were held for 13 years without charge. They have never been proved to have done anything wrong. They never got a fair trial, and they were tortured in these horrific ways. Will they ever see justice?
You know, I'm sorry to say that I don't think they ever will see justice. And this is really the heart of the problem that I have with our government's reaction to these terrible Bush years. And that is that we're supposed to be a nation of laws. We're supposed to be a nation that is governed by a constitution. Yet none of these men have ever had due process. They've never been charged with a crime. They're not allowed to see their attorneys. And when they are allowed to see their attorneys, it's years between meetings. They've never had the benefit of facing their accusers in a court of law. These are all violations of the Constitution. So my position is, if these men are such bad men, such dangerous men, let's charge them with a crime and give them their day in court. But if we're not going to charge them with a crime and we're not going to give them the opportunity to defend themselves, then we need to release them.
Now, these men were just now able to tell us what happened to them. And by the way, they were beaten so badly that their independent medical analysis of their x-rays showed that what they were saying was done to them very much corroborated with the damage done internally to their bodies. These men were just released and able to be in Tunisia, but President Obama issued an executive order in 2009 ending the CIA use of torture. Does it mean that between 2009 and 2016, these men were simply held without torture, and that it was before 2009 that all of the torture likely occurred under the Bush era?
Yeah, I think that's the case. We know from Abu Zubaydah's lawyers, for example, that he was only tortured during the Bush administration, that once President Obama was elected president, the torture stopped. The interrogations continued, certainly, but the torture stopped. And I think that was the case with all other prisoners. And if I may, I'd like to add another point there as well. President Obama promised to be the most transparent president in history. He has not been. President Obama promised to close Guantanamo because it's an abomination. He has not closed Guantanamo. And he also promised to allow these prisoners to defend themselves in at least a military tribunal. And that has not happened. So we've had 8 years in addition to the 7+ years of the Bush administration, once we started capturing people, to seek justice. And we've not allowed them to seek justice. And so it's time to let them go.
How many people are left? I mean, do these two men, these two Tunisian men, do we consider them the lucky ones?
You know, I would, luckier than something like 114 others who are still at Guantanamo and have no choice, no chance rather of getting out. Now, there are several who have been cleared for release and who have been cleared for release for 2 years now, but no country is willing to take them. So they're stuck in these cages in Guantanamo with no end in sight.
So in terms of the legal process for this country to come to terms with what the CIA did, where are we at? The CIA, the Senate report on the CIA torture that was essentially swept under the rug, is it the end of the line for that? Will we ever get to see that report? And even if we do, what does that even mean within the framework of justice and some kind of reconciliation with stated values of the U.S. and these horrific actions?
No, I think the truth will be buried and has been buried. Mm. You know, so many activists from both the political left and the right, the libertarian right, begged the White House to release the entire torture report, all 6,000 pages of it, and just to let the chips fall where they may. There was never any chance of that happening. President Obama has been in bed with the CIA since the day of his inauguration in 2009. And certainly for the first term, John Brennan was advising him on these issues. John Brennan, who is now CIA director and who during the Bush administration was the executive director of the CIA. So, no, I fear that the truth will never come out. There will be no Peace and Reconciliation Commission. There will be no transparency. I think that we've gotten all that we're going to get from this administration.
I mean, I really feel like all Americans should read this Human Rights Watch report. I mean, this is only one of many, many, many reports that have come out over the years on U.S. Use of torture. Only the latest report, I should say. And of course, the revelations that you went to prison to make public were among that huge sort of body of documentation about what we've done. But it feels like we've... even as a people, have sort of moved on. The issue of CIA torture and some kind of reconciling is just not an issue anymore. Just because we are now saying, all right, we're not doing it anymore, let's just walk away as if it never happened.
And that's exactly what has taken place. You know, the CIA knew from early on that even when this information went public, and it started leaking out around 2005, they knew that they could just wait it out. And it appears that that's what has happened. They've waited it out. And to make their jobs easier, they've had a Democratic president, someone who has professed in the past to be a progressive, helping them wait it out for the last 8 years. So yeah, I think that there will be no justice. I think the issue is moot.
Now, the torture of these two Tunisian men who were reported by Human Rights Watch, whose torture was reported by Human Rights Watch, say that they were held in this place in Afghanistan called the Dark Prison, one of several of these sort of underground locations. And as far as you can tell, was any of this ever even official? Are we, you know, is it that the deeper we dig, the more skeletons will come out of the closet?
Of that, I'm not sure. I've never heard of a place in Afghanistan called the Dark Prison. I wonder if they were held at a notorious place called the Salt Pit. It was an old Soviet-era dungeon, just the worst kind of place you can imagine, with torture chambers, and it's something out of a nightmare. I know that the CIA funneled a lot of prisoners through the Salt Pit, and I wonder if the Dark Prison is just another name for that location.
Right. In fact, Human Rights Watch says it's a facility in northeast Kabul believed to have been either the Dark Prison or the Salt Pit. So they're not sure if they are one and the same. And it's also referred to as Cobalt in the Senate summary of the torture report. Do you know anything about Cobalt?
It was always my assumption, and again, I don't know this for a fact, but it was my assumption that Cobalt was the Salt Pit.
So, this is basically something that's completely off the map, and one has to wonder, those 100-plus people who are being held in Guantanamo, what stories would they be able to reveal if they ever saw the light of day outside of that gulag in Guantanamo? And it feels like wherever we look... we might find something. And to go back to the issue of justice, John, we have yet to imprison any top CIA officials, let alone put them on trial and hold them accountable. And yet you and other whistleblowers who've brought up U.S. secrets, but you in particular who brought up secrets about CIA torture, you were imprisoned. So the U.S. has gone after you, and you have paid a higher price than a CIA, than a torturer.
And I would do it again tomorrow. I truly would. Somebody had to say something. Somebody had to finally admit that this was happening, that the CIA was torturing people, killing people, taking people to secret prisons around the world in the name of the American people. And so I would do it again. I'll tell you the truth. It sickens me that the torturers are free, that the officials who conceived and implemented the torture are free, that the attorneys who justified the torture are free, and that the senior CIA official who destroyed evidence of the torture is free. And indeed, not just free, but received a $6 million book advance. So yeah, it sickens me. But you know, that's the United States in 2016.
It would be amazing to find a way to bring one of these Tunisian men to the United States and see if they would be willing to go on a speaking tour to help share their horrific experiences and help educate us Americans on the devastation that we have wrought in their life. Likely, they might just want to live their lives and try to forget the whole nightmare ever happened to them. But I can't even imagine the kinds of scars, physical and mental, that this kind of torture leaves on people's bodies. Speaking of torture and PTSD, Donald Trump, you know, who has mocked the idea of waterboarding, who recently said that vets who suffer from PTSD, you know, are just not strong enough. I just sort of shudder to think the kind of things that might return to the U.S. under a Trump presidency. Any thoughts on that?
I think that the country would be doomed under a Trump presidency. Donald Trump said not only would he reinstitute waterboarding, but he would bring back, quote, things that are a hell of a lot worse. I shake when I think about what he's talking about, because there's not much that's worse than waterboarding. Death pretty much comes next after waterboard. So yes, I'm 52 years old. I've been a political animal all my life. This is the first time in my life that I actually fear for the country.
Wow. John, give out a website where people can find out more about your work, your background, the things you've done.
I do. Thank you. It's www.johnkiriakou.com. It's JohnKiriakou.com.
And we'll post a link to that from our website later today. Thank you for the sacrifices you have made for this country, and I appreciate the time you've spent with us.
Thank you for raising these issues. They're very important. Great speaking with you.
My guest is John Kiriakou, former CIA analyst and counterterrorism operations officer. He was the first U.S. intelligence officer to reveal information about the intelligence community's use of torture techniques. He was in prison for more than 2 years for his whistleblowing actions. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. We're also on Twitter at twitter.com/RUwithSonali.